we could just learn to put everything at the feet of Jesus, we'd be a lot better off, wouldn't we? Because he can fix everything. We can fix nothing. All right, children, be dismissed. Mr. Randy. You got a pretty good crowd tonight, Randy, the kids. Wow. We'll close out our series of What is Christmas tonight with part four. As you can see the title, The Power of Fellowship. Let's recap the parts we talked about the last 3 weeks. Our first part was talking about celebrating one message. That's what Christmas is, right? Where usually everybody is celebrating one message. Oh, thank you, Pate. We talked about celebrating one message, part one. That's what Christmas is. That's what we all come together to do. Even your people don't go to church will usually acknowledge we're celebrating the birth of Christ. Part two we talked about was loving one another. That's something we do at Christmas as well. We come together and we love one another. And even to the chaotic kids, you love them and you press through for the cause. We love one another. Part three we talked about was, what was the third part? Huh? What? Yes, thank you. Giving of gifts. That's something we all love at Christmas, is the giving of gifts. So that was our part three. Tonight, part four, the power of fellowship. You know, we all go to family get-togethers, and we go to dinners, and we have church get-togethers, and we have grandma get-togethers, and we have our own get-togethers, and we have work party get-togethers, and all of that is fellowship. The power of fellowship. There is power in fellowship. Whether it's good fellowship or whether it's bad fellowship. Something we tell our kids growing up is run with the wrong crowd, right? Hang out with the wrong people. Birds of a feather do what? Flock together. You've heard that expression, right, Joe? Birds of a feather flock together. I don't know if y'all heard that in Ohio or not. It's a saying, though. Do what, Gail? All that. You are who you are around. And you become who you associate with. It's important that we understand that the power of fellowship can have a very influential part of our lives if it's the right fellowship. Let's look at the definition of fellowship in the next slide. Here's what fellowship means. A group of people meeting to pursue a shared interest. So the local church, we're here together to pursue a shared interest, which is God. We're here to share the goodness of God. We're here to hear from God. We're here to be used by God. We are here to share God. We are here to encourage one another because this is a safe zone. If you're not accepted in middle school, you're accepted here. If you're not accepted at K&W, you're accepted here. If you're not accepted at the senior citizens building, you're accepted here. If you're not accepted out there by your family, you're accepted in here. This is a body where we are sharing one interest together. And that is celebrating and honoring God. And in that fellowship, there's power. In that fellowship, there's healing. In that fellowship, there's breakthrough. You know, Courtney gave her life story a year or so ago up here on this stage. She had everything written out, but I don't think I ever looked at it. It just began to flow out of her. And she shared with a lot of people she didn't even really personally know her life story. And you know what that did for Courtney? It gave her strength, did it not? It helped you because you were able to bear your burdens to a congregation that in spite of what they heard, still loves you and was there to encourage you. You don't get that everywhere. But the local church, that's what it's supposed to be. And that's the power of fellowship. Think about this. When we all go to, if we're all meeting at Captain's Galley on Sunday, what's our purpose? To eat. Not to fellowship, no. To eat and fellowship. Eating comes first, yes. And after we eat, we fellowship. Went to my Aunt Patricia's in Elkin Saturday night. Everybody ate first. Filled them plates up. Then we talked. But we ate. And what we're celebrating is the food we're eating. We're all together. We're ordering our food. We get all excited. We're all there together. And we're all hungry together. We're all getting what we want. We're all sharing a meal together. We're in fellowship. You go to a movie theater. I went to see Star Wars with my buddy last week. I saw it in 3D. Really cool. And you know what? Everybody is there that wants to see that movie, wants to see that movie. You don't just go and say, oh, I guess I'll go see it. People pick movies they like. So we're all in there together. We're all in that room. We're all Star Wars nerds. We know what expressions like Jedi means. And may the Force be with you. And the Republic. And the Resistance. And all those terms that if you're not a Star Wars person, you don't know what they mean. And we, everybody at Star Wars knows what this is. Darth Vader. We know what that means. The little green man with pointy ears that is ugly as homemade meatloaf. You love him if you're a Star Wars fan. Little Yoda, you love him. We are celebrating in that movie theater, and we are fellowshipping together, and everybody's laughing. It's usually the same lines. We're crying the same places. You know, we're clapping the same places, whatever that is, because we're in fellowship together. We're there to share an interest watching a movie. Go to a ball game, same way. You go to a Panthers game, everybody's yelling Panthers, got their jerseys, got their paint. They're together sharing an interest. And there's unity in that. We went to Pittsburgh game, you know, a few weeks back, and we're up there, and these couple guys walked up, didn't know us from Adam, walked up, started talking to us, high-fiving us. I'm glad to be here. How about y'all? Sure am. Yeah. They had no idea who they were. Sat right down. We get talking to them. Had to move in the wrong seats. But we talked to them for a while and high-fiving us. And when somebody scores a touchdown, this strange woman kept turning around high-fiving Melanie and Ashley. Getting on Melanie's nerves a little bit. Oh. Yep, yeah, she would do it to me for some reason. So the last time they scored, I did it to her. Like that. She did it back then. But why did you ever been to ball game? They do that. You been to ball game, D? They high-five strangers, don't they? They score. Hey, yeah, man, you don't even know them, right? They're spilling their beer trying to high-five you. Oh, man, yeah. We're fellowshipping together. And there's power in unity. You ever been to a game where a crowd starts going, defense, defense, and the whole arena starts chanting that? There's unity in that. And there's power in that natural part. And it motivates those people on the team, on the court or the field. Well, we're talking about the local church. We're sharing an interest. We're talking about Jesus. We're talking about his power. We're talking about his love. We're talking about his hope, his peace, his strength, his wisdom. We're talking about all the things God, so to speak. And there's power in that. Because what we realize is that each of us walk in these doors, we're carrying something with us, whether it's physical pain, emotional pain, financial stress, marital stress, children stress, job stress, whatever it is, we're coming in with something. And when we're here together, fellowshipping, we realize, I'm not alone. I'm going to be honest with you, and this sounds horrible, because I know what the Bible says. Rejoice with those that rejoice, and weep with those that weep. But I'm going to tell you something. When someone else is going through a burden and a crisis, I don't feel quite so alone. And I've said that before. You don't feel quite so alone when someone else is going through something too. Because sometimes the devil will start talking to you and telling you it's your fault and all of this, and you're just this, you know, dark cloud and all the doom and glooms in your life. But then when you hear other stories of other people that are struggling with other issues, it almost gives you hope because you realize, I know them. I know they love God and they serve God. I know how they live their life, and they also are struggling. So you know what? I'm not alone in this. Other people are carrying burdens. Other people are suffering. And so it almost, knowing other people are suffering, almost encourages us to know, hey, we're not by ourselves. So let's help each other and understand each other and reach out to each other. That's the power of fellowship. The more you talk to each other, the more you'll realize that we are on more the same page than you realize. Joe Brown may look like he has it all together, but ask Sharon Brown about that and see what she says. It's easy to walk in this church and think, man, they got together. Tony Cook, man, he's always got together. He's back here just mild, meek, and got it, you know, always looking cool and sitting back there chilling. And he's got problems. Look who's sitting beside. I'm just playing, Brent. I'm just playing. We all got problems. We all got trials and tribulations. Dee loves her little two boys. They're the most precious gift in the world. But there's times she wants to put her fingers around their neck until they're saying, "Mommy, let go," because they can do that to you. It doesn't mean she doesn't love them. So we all struggle, and we all carry that burden. I try to encourage Courtney to celebrate these years with Sky. She's like, "Oh, my gosh, Sky." I said, "Honey, this is the best it gets. To the grown, this is the best it gets. So enjoy her at 5, because as she grows older and older and older, there's just more and more and more challenges. So enjoy her rolling her eyes and doing her hip at you, because it gets worse." I'm just telling you. Enjoy those years. Enjoy them. Go to the next. Let's start with some scriptures. We're talking about the power of fellowship. Proverbs 27:17 says this: "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." If you rub iron against iron, it makes the corners sharper. We as believers, our fellowship together sharpens us. It helps us. It encourages us. It strengthens us. It makes us, we are stronger with each other than without each other. We are better with each other than without each other. We are in a better place fellowshipping with our Christian brothers and sisters than we are trying to carry the burden alone. And so we have to lay down the independence of thinking, "I don't need a body of believers," or "the local church is okay, but I don't really need to be there all the time." We learn that as we're here and hearing God's word and seeing each other and talking to each other, that it brings strength in itself, because iron sharpens iron. And that's what we're to do to each other. We are to build each other up. We're to help each other. We're to strengthen each other. We're to give each other hope when there seems to be no hope. And what I love as a pastor, I love when I start seeing the body make connections. I love it. I see that as a pastor, where certain people will be hanging out with other people outside the church, or they're helping, you know, I know, like I've seen Chuck and Jewel helping Nancy move, and I love that. I love when I see people of the church getting involved and having relationships outside the church, because I realize that people are connecting, and that's a good thing. It's a very good thing, because we need each other, because we can't do it alone. And the local church is a big vehicle of that fellowship. Next scripture, we're going to be in Acts chapter 2. Begin with verse 1. And this is Pentecost. This is after Jesus had resurrected and he told them to go wait. He had something for them. Chapter 2, verse 1. "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were with all one accord, and they were in one place." Here's the beauty of this. When we're in one place, then we all are part of what's happening. We may not always open ourselves up to it, to receive it. We may not want to hear it. But if you're in this sanctuary on any given Sunday or Wednesday, you, each one of you, are a part of what's happening in this room. You're in one place, and you're here. And that opportunity to hear God's voice, or to see God move, or to feel God's presence, or to have your healing come forth, it's available because you're in this place. All of us here, hopefully you're here because you want to be here. And you want to be here to hear the word. You want to be here to see each other. And you want to be here to worship God. And in that mindset, you are ready to receive what God has for you because you're here. They were all there in that one place. There were about 120 of them, according to the Bible. 120 of them were in this room waiting on the promise of God. "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting." All the house. Everything was filled. "And there appeared to them cloven tongues of fire, and it sat upon" how many of them? Each of them. They all got it. The cloven tongues of fire sat upon every one, because they were all there waiting on the same promise. They were in unison of mind, unity of soul, and they were expecting and waiting on what Jesus told them to wait on. And when it came, because they were there, they were a partaker of what God had for them. We got to be where God is at to receive what God has. You know, I've told you before, I'm going to be honest, I can really say this. Most, 2/3 of my personal counseling is for people outside the church. And the first thing I will tell them is, look, come to church. I mean, we can meet for weeks and talk, but come to church. You can get more out of a 45-minute message of hearing God's word than we can stand here and me talk to you for 2 hours on Tuesday night. I don't mind that if it's necessary, but come hear the word and let the Word of God and be in that place where the Word of God is being preached, and let His presence be felt, and let that Word come forth and come alive in you and speak to you. Because you never know at what moment, at what time, at what service that God's going to move on you in a life-changing way. I mean life-changing. You may walk in on a Wednesday night. Oh, it's a Wednesday night. But you may leave here transformed, just like Teresa talked about. That man left that living room transformed. Wasn't planned. It wasn't a service. You're at Christmas dinner, and the man leaves confessing Jesus, Lord and Savior. Yes. You never know what God's going to do. And if we allow the Holy Spirit to move, every service is different. And we've had all kinds of services that was not planned whatsoever, and God moved in a way that I was like, wow, okay. When I got out of the way, God showed up and moved. That's what we want. That's what's beautiful. And so they were in one place, one accord. The tongue sat up on each of them. And they were, how many of them? They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. All of them. Not part of them. They were all filled because they were together meeting for a purpose. And they were waiting and expecting this promise. And because they were ready and they were waiting and they were there and they were available, God showed up and filled all of them with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Skip down now to verse 41. Now, Peter come out and he gave that great gospel message. So pick up in 41. It says, they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day were added unto them 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They didn't just get Jesus and then stop. They continued in fellowship. Why? Because we need that fellowship. This is why God created man and woman, because he did not want man alone. This is why marriage is so critical and so important for people's lives, because it gives something that's missing now. It gives them fulfillment. We don't like being alone. People can say they're a loner, and they may be more of a loner. There's people that can spend time alone more than others, but deep inside, nobody's really a loner. Everybody wants somebody. We need somebody. We need something. We weren't meant to walk on the earth completely alone with no friends, no family, no fellowship, living like a hermit. That's not healthy. It's not how God designed things. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they all, to receive this word, were all baptized out of the church, and he says to continue in fellowship, continue in breaking of bread. And then verse 44, And all that believed were together and had all things common. And they sold their possessions, their goods, and they parted them to all men as every man had need. Now, of course, we don't necessarily do that today, but this goes very along with why we give to the local church. We call it now tithes and offerings. That part of our services that we give of our substance to help those in need, to help the community, to help people in the local church. It's part of what we do. It's also part of fellowship, really. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They continued to share with each other. They continued to meet with each other. They continued to edify each other from in the temple as corporate worship and as going from house to house. And they were praising God, the next verse says. They were praising God, not having faith, and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. We don't just get saved and then stop. I understand that the church doesn't save you, and I understand this, and I'm telling you this as a pastor. You don't have to come to church to be saved or stay saved. I get that. But it should be our desire as children of God and believers that we want to be in the house of the Lord. I mean, we don't have to go to a ball game, but we sure would go every time we had free tickets. We don't have to do this. We don't have to go to K&W. We sure like that baked spaghetti and that country style steak and them chocolate cream pie. We like it. We don't have to go, but we desire to go. And so the church should be a desire for God's people. Why? Because this is our setting. This is who we are. We don't, you know, we're not, the local church is not a bar that we go and hang out and drink shots all night. The local church is for Christians who want to come together to celebrate Jesus and to help each other and to pray for each other. And we'll get to a verse here in a minute that talks about how everything's not up to the pastor as well, that each of us have gifts to give. We see Marjorie every week giving her gifts to the church. We see our teachers and Mr. Randy giving their gifts to the church. I see my mom, which is mostly behind the scenes, giving her gifts to the church. I see my wife, who's always behind the scenes, giving some gifts y'all never know about, but giving her gifts to the church. We see Dee giving her gifts to the church. So we see these things. When you pass the road and you see our church sign, we see someone giving their gift to the church. See, all of us are to give gifts. Part of that fellowship is us serving not just ourselves, but serving each other and helping each other and praying for each other and building one another up. We talked about last week how that, you know, we should let no corrupt communication come out of our mouth, but only that which edifies grace to the hearers. That's what we should be declaring. We got enough tearing down. We got enough negativity. We got enough stuff going on that's wrong and bad. The local church should be that light, just as Teresa said earlier, that light that draws people here, that when they're here, they want what you have. They desire what they see in you. Though we're far from perfect, there's a light that they see in us, and they want that because they know it's real. They know it's something that transcends just talking about it. They see something in us that's evidence of reality, that we really believe in this Jesus and that we really love this Jesus and that we really serve this Jesus. And they see the hope that we carry and the love that we carry and the forgiveness and mercy that we carry. And they see that and they're like, how can people be that way in this generation? Because we have Jesus. And it makes all the difference when you carry him in your heart. Next scripture is in 1 Corinthians, thank you, 14:26. 1 Corinthians 14:26, Paul says this. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a psalm, you have a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. And the reason I picked this verse, I want to point out that Paul makes it clear that we are to come together. He makes it clear in that verse that we are to come together and that each one of us, we have psalms through Marjorie and Dee and Melanie and all that. We have a doctrine or teaching through Randy, the teachers, or myself, or whoever's up here. You know, we have sometimes other people to speak up and speak a word or speak a revelation or speak a prophecy. We are to come together. That's God's will that we come together. It's God's design that we come together and that we edify and we build each other up. That we reach out and we say, hey, I love you, I'm here for you, and I really mean that. I can't fix all your problems, I can't pay all your debts off, but I can pray for you, I can listen to you, and I can believe in you. Those things I can do. And when we reach out to people, you'll be surprised the healing that the one member can bring to the total body. Think about this. When Dee sings a song and you're moved by that song, you're moved by it, how many people is she affecting? The whole body is being impacted through song. One member is bringing healing to the whole body. This is the power of fellowship. This is the power of an encouraging word. This is the power of making ourselves available to serve others. Because we leave changed by what we've been in. We leave the sanctuary changed because we've come together with one expectation and one desire to feel, to experience, to express, to serve, to worship, to love, to honor our Lord. And that never returns void. Never. Each of us has something to give. I think about this little giving well all the time with Brendan and Tony. It was their idea years ago. And they, Tony built that little well for the church. It's been there for years. And it's got to make your hearts feel good every week you see those kids come and put money in that well. I mean, that well has bought, what, two playgrounds now? It's amazing that these children, little children, they'll remember that. Little Tay and Kingston and Maverick and Hudson and Skye, you know, Sierra. They'll know. They'll grow up remembering, you know, as long as you keep them coming a little bit longer. They'll remember. My church had a well. They'll look back as an adult. We had a little well when I was a kid. I took Christian by my old church, my old church this today, that on Southside. We rode through, and I showed her my old church that I went to, the first church that I remember being at, down on Fifth Street. She never seen it before, didn't I? I went there. And I pulled up in front of the church and showed it to her. Said, this is where your dad's little boy went to church, this little block building. And I was about 7 years old when we left that church, but I've got vivid memories of that church. I remember how it looked inside, parts of it. I remember how the preacher looked and his wife, some of the singers. I remember my Sunday school teacher, LC. I still picture my head, how he looked. I remember my classroom was. So think about your kids as they get older. Remember, you know, we had a little well at our church, and every Sunday morning the preacher dismisses, we go and put our money in that little well. Y'all did that. Y'all did that. Y'all served. And it's still making an impact. For years now, this is making an impact. It's the things we do that, you know, we think, well, what, you know, big deal. Everything in the kingdom of God's a big deal. Everything you do for God, I promise, is a big deal. So think about that, will you? Think about that, Christian. Next scripture. Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Paul had realized some had stopped fellowshipping. Some had stopped coming together. Some had went on their way and did their own thing. I think Paul makes it an important point here. It's important that you come together. It's important, why? That we exhort one another. You know, Ashley was a cheerleader last year, went to all the games because, you know, she was a cheerleader. We didn't know any of the players, really, but she was a cheerleader, so we went and supported her. Have you ever heard a cheerleader do a negative cheer? You stink. You're bad. You're making me mad. I hate you. Warriors, you stink and you're green and you look really mean. No. Cheers are positive. We're going to score. Cross that goal line now. Score that touchdown on fourth down. Yeah, yeah, you can do it. Go, 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 green and gold. Go, 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 be real bold. Yeah, it's cheerleaders are supposed to make you feel good. They edify the crowd. They edify the players. Cheers are positive. We are cheerleaders to each other. We encourage and we build up and we provoke to good works and we exhort one another. That's the power of fellowship. Can't tell how many times Joe Brown has told me, and he told my family, and Christian said, you shared this with her last week, how he prays for us every day. He told my daughter that, so I pray for you every day. You know how impactful that is in my life? To know I've got at least my mom and dad and Joe Brown praying for me. I know I got them three every day, and my wife. I know I got them praying for me every single day. Thank you. And one of my daughters. Thank you. And Miss Sharon. Thank you very much. That's good. It should be that way. But that has made an impact to know that Joe takes and Sharon take that much love for me personally, that they lift my name up. And they lift the church up too. But they lift my name up. They're building me up. They're exhorting me. They're lifting me up with their prayers. And it makes such a difference. That's what we're supposed to do. That's the power of fellowship. That's why the local church, I tell you, it's so, you know, I've been to like a few concerts, like Christian concerts I've been to, and they're amazing when you get these 10,000 people in a Coliseum. I said this last week, I think, how they're, you know, 10,000 people are singing How Great Is Our God. And you hear people from all over the state, some out of state, that come to these concerts. You don't know any of them, but the people you came with most of the time. But you see, you hear all these 10,000 voices in unison lifting up how great is our God. Oh, that power of that fellowship, the power of that crowd singing together one message, it's amazing. It brings breakthrough. And the local church has that same power that it brings breakthrough. That's why it is important that you're here. It's important. People say, well, I don't make much of a difference, or, you know, it ain't gonna matter if I'm not there. It's not just about you not being here for you to be blessed. What if you're supposed to bless somebody else? What if Dee has a word tonight for Sharon? Who knows? What if Dee's here and God just, you know, I don't know, moves on her in some way, and she says something to Sharon or Brenda or Courtney that they needed to hear, that they wouldn't have heard if she wasn't here. That happens all the time. We got to be here to be available for that. We got to be here to see the need and be part of the solution. And so you are important, and the church is so important. Next scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:14. We'll close out with this little passage, 12:14. This talks about we're the body. For the body is not one member, but it's many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. See, Belen might be an eye. Gail might be an ear. Sasha might be a hand, and Connie might be a foot. And you know, which one of you is the eye? Belen. Belen might get all feeling cocky. I'm the eye. I got the most important. But she can't hear. She's lost something. If she can't walk, she's missing something. And if she can't touch, she's missing something. But you bring Belen the eye, and Connie the ear, and Sasha the foot, the hand, and Gail the foot. Guess what? If they stay together, they can see, they can hear, they can touch, and they can walk. Separately, they're missing something. But together, they can accomplish everything. That's the importance of the body. Everyone can't sing, believe me. And I know what you're thinking. I know I can't sing. Why do you do it, Pastor? Because sometimes a song just moves me, and I'm the preacher, so I can sing. But I know that's not my gift. It's joyful to God. That's probably it. I heard Manny's Hound Dog howling one day as I was over here singing. But anyway, I know that's not my gift. Barbara Chiller says, every time you sing, I just cry. I said, honey, I'm sorry. No, it moves me. That's not my gift. Everybody can't sing, and everybody can't preach, and everybody can't teach, and everybody's not good with kids. Everybody's not good with old folks. You know, everybody's not good with this or that. But we all are in particularly have gifts. And the Bible says that God positions them as he pleases. We all have something that we offer. For some people, they are behind the scenes, and their gift is financial support. We have people that financially support this church that don't even come here, but they financially support the church. It's a gift they give to this ministry. Each of us have something that we can give. Now we're going to skip down to verse 25. Thank you. That there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer. One member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and you are members in particular. God has set some in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, miracles, gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. We each have something God has given us, but it can't be used effectively if we're not fellowshipping together. Because those gifts are to be given to other people, and if you're not around other people, where does it go? So we must be together. to offer what God gives us. Think about all the things that we do. You know, we have all kinds of ministries at this church. We have, of course, our singers and our worship. We have our Sunday school teachers. We have our ushers. We have our sign person that does our sign. We have a web person that does our web. We have our church secretary does all the financials and all the books. You know, we have a board members that help make decisions and establish our budget each year. Do what? Yes, sound and video. We have our sound and video. That is a very important part of our ministry. We have a visitation team now that we have formed. 7 people have signed up. And don't worry, I will call you when something's happening. For some reason, it's been a really slow couple of months, which is good. I got to think about that. I ain't had a hospital visit in 2 months. Y'all, nobody's been in the hospital, but I know it's been. That's true, yeah. And I would have came if I really would have had to. You know that. If I would have had to, I'd have been down there. But you was okay, and you got back and all that. But yeah, it's been a slow couple of months. But we got a visitation team that has signed up that if someone's in the hospital, they say I can call them, and they will go visit someone, whether it's hospital or nursing home, you know, or hospice, something like that. They'll go visit. So we have that in place. You know, we have our cleaning ladies who clean the church every week and our kitchen people who set up and clean up and get, you know, buy the supplies and do all that stuff. All of these, I mean, think about it. We had Jeannie and Minnie and Sherry and Barbara and Grandma, maybe some others for our Christmas dinner. Well, they went and got the plates and got the coffee and got the forks and napkins. Aren't you glad? Would have been terrible walking in with all that food and no plate. Dad had been doing this. No forks. And Gail, no coffee. That'd been terrible, right? Man. Those are ministries that are important. You go to the restrooms, we have tissue, we have towels, we have soap. You go in, all that's out. That's frustrating. Those are little things on Sunday mornings when the worship's going, the Holy Ghost is moving. You ain't thinking about soap and tissue. But thank God it's there when you walk in the door. These are things. My treat bag team that volunteered to drive back up, you know, 100 treat bags on a Friday night at 6 o'clock to meet over here with a great attitude and take their time to bag up treat bags for the church. All those things are part of the body. It's part of fellowship. It's the power of fellowship. Because that fellowship opens up things, church. It opens up avenues of opportunity. It opens up ways for us to strengthen each other and to help each other and to love each other. You could be the very piece that God uses to save someone's life. Just because they're here on Sunday morning or Wednesday doesn't necessarily mean they know Jesus. Understand that. There are folks that come here for years. I had a guy one time tell me, he said, he's been coming for years, says, I know I've been coming for years and, you know, I won't get saved one day. I'll know when it's time. I'll know when it's time. Just because they're sitting here doesn't mean they're where God has desire for them to be. And we're part of that. That's why you're important. The body is so important. How far could a quarterback get with no offensive line? No lineman, just a quarterback and one center. Hike. Ah! You got 10 guys charging at you. Nobody to block them. Each of us have a role that's important. Everybody makes fun of the field goal kicker, right? Because he don't have any physical contact. He's a field goal kicker. No physical contact. Ain't ever, you know. But boy, you sure love him in the last 3 seconds of a game. Or hate him. That's exactly right. He's either a hero or a zero. He's either a host or a toast. I mean, he has a very small part for most of the game, but there's key moments that he can change a game. God can use you to change the game. No matter how young you are, how old you are, God can use you to change the game. Remember that. Part 4 of our Christmas, the power of fellowship. We're starting a new year coming up. We've got one more Sunday this year, coming up this Sunday. Be the last Sunday of 2017. We'll be going into a new year, 2018, next year. God's been good to us this year. It's been an incredible year. Been a wonderful year. Been very, very blessed this year. And I'm so hopeful and expecting of 2018 to be even a better year. And I'm believing that. And I'm believing this body is going to begin to reach out. And many of you already are doing this. And you are bringing people with you. To say, come to the light. come hear the good news. A place where you won't be tore down, a place where you're not going to be buried 6 feet under, but a place that's going to promote the grace and power and love of our Savior. Nobody can turn that down, because everybody wants to be loved. I don't care what they say, they want to be loved. The people that are so bitter and so hard is because they've got a wall up and they want to be loved. Our job is to show that light so that wall will come down and they can feel and be loved again. Because life, as the Psalm Martyr is saying, life is hard. Seems unfair sometimes. Seems real unfair. But God is fair. And I'm thankful for that. Marjorie, if you come up for a minute, if you don't mind playing with us, I'm going to go pray for Sasha. She heads back to Texas tomorrow. And we are so proud of you, Sasha. And I know you're going to do great. You're smart. And you're going to do great. I believe God's going to open up doors for you and opportunities for you to really succeed. And you be faithful to Him, darling. Stay on your face. I know it's hard. The military's got a bunch of roughnecks. I get it. I know. It's not the most gentle environment. everybody don't talk real nice, and they don't say, you know, dadgum and gosh and shucks and stuff like that. I get it. But be a light, Sasha. Be a light. Let them see God in you. Come on up here a minute. And yeah, you're fine right there. I'm so glad you got to come home for Christmas and share with your mom and family. And I know they're going to miss you. And we are really thankful for her. We want to pray for her protection. We want to pray that God watches her, keeps her from all harm. We never know what's going to happen in the world. I mean, we never know what's going to happen. We never know what might change tomorrow. We never know what her call of duty may become. It may be an office job next week, and it may be somewhere across the world the next week. You never know. And so we want to pray for her protection, her safety. And let's pray for her that God keeps her heart and that God lets her be a light to those around her, that they'll see God in her. Father, we just pray for Sasha right now. God, we pray for your anointing and your presence to follow her every step that she goes. Whatever state she's in, country or town, whatever situation she finds herself in, Lord, I pray for the hedge of your grace to protect her and to keep her from any danger, that you watch over her life physically and you watch over her life spiritually. Let her heart not be poisoned or soiled by the world around her, but let her in this environment be a light that others see that something is different about this one. Something is different about this soldier. Let your light follow her, God, and bring her safely back home to the arms of her family. We send her forth under your authority, Jesus, and under your power, under your plan. Ordain her steps in the name of Jesus. Amen. And sing it.
And all the joy that floods my soul.
Y'all stand on your feet. Let's sing it in closing. He touched you. Sing it one more time, Marjorie.
He touched me.
Thank you for touching us, Jesus.
Oh,
yes.
He touched.
Thank you, Lord.
And all the joy,
yes,
that
Lord,
floods my soul.
Something happened to us.
Something,
yes,
happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole. He touched me.
That she needs to be touched by your presence. A strength to overshadow her during this time of darkness. Lift her up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And give her the touch that she knows something has happened in her life. And be with Dale in this time of his life, Lord. Bring that peace that he needs right now in his darkness. And that healing that he needs. In the name of Jesus, let your presence touch both their lives in a supernatural way. We give you the praise and glory for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Something happened, and now I know He touched me, made me whole.
Father, we are so glad You touched us, that You spoke to our lives and You changed us, that we are not lost anymore, but we are found. We are thankful that the darkness of this world does not trap us anymore, that we are not enclosed in a prison of sin and death, but we have been delivered and resurrected by Your power and by Your hand of glory. Thank You, Lord, for passing our way. Thank You, Lord, for forgiving us of our sins. Thank You, Lord, for letting no stones be cast our way. Thank You, Lord, for rescuing us when we couldn't be rescued ourselves. We give You praise and we give You glory. We give You all honor. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank You for loving us. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. You have an offering tonight. Only got two more chances to give this year. If you have an offering, come put in the offering plate over here, and hope to see you Sunday morning.